Here you are. I was really concerned. Hey, everyone.
I wasn't going to show up.
It just took a minute. It took like a hot minute for you to appear. And I don't know.
Hey, what's up, Newt?
I do know why that is. There we go. That should be fixed.
All right. Hey, Undead Val. What's up, guys?
Thank you so much. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate you. As you can see, we're doing a completely different stream tonight since Blake's sick. But I have a massive like thing of announcements, so I'm going to ramble through that. So those of you who don't know, welcome to Saves First Death. We are a tabletop actual play and talk discussion channel. I don't know what Night City Sofa falls under, one of those. Normally we play Shades of Scarlet, our Cyberpunk Red campaign, in this time slot. However, Blank is sick, so I'm taking over the stream, and I've roped Games into talking with me about the roles in Cyberpunk Red. Because I have a theory. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jess. You can find me at Jessiper on Blue Sky, Instagram, YouTube, and Patreon. And with me today is my buddy Games.
Oh, hi, I'm Games.
You can find
me everywhere that fine books are sold. Just look up the word Games End with a 3 instead of the second E, and you will find me. I will be there. Lift a rock, I am there. Split a piece of wood, I am there as well.
That's really... There we go. You seem very quiet. I'm going to try to fix that. All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not normal.
I know. I think you're good. I think I got it. I don't know. We'll play Robo Settings. Let's see. Announcements for this week. We are still raising awareness for Solo But Not Alone. It's the fourth year, and charity brings over 100 indie single-player TRPGs into one bundle for $10 to raise money for mental health. They're currently sitting at 97% of their goal. You can support by buying the bundle directly. You can see the link in chat or in the description below if you're watching this on YouTube. Just a note, the event run ends March 9th. I think it's the last day.
Yep.
Because we've surpassed our sub goal for this month, every $10 that we make now in subs, we'll buy a bundle and we will donate it to a member of the community. So thank you guys for helping us achieve that goal and being awesome. We appreciate you.
Yeah. We love you guys and we love helping good causes, and you guys always help us do that. So thank you.
Yeah. All right, what do I got next? If you want to stay up to date on last-minute schedule changes, like tonight, be sure to join our Discord or follow us on Blue Sky. Both links can be found in the About section of our Twitch channel or in the descriptions if you're watching this on YouTube or listening on podcast. By the way, I changed up the About section on the Twitch page, so now if you just like click the images, it'll bring you to wherever it says...
The various things.
Yeah.
As the editor of the channel, I'm not sure I put the Blue Sky link on there, but I sure will now that you've said that.
We'll fix it. Speaking of podcasts, Indie Band has just released its 25th episode recently, as season 2 is underway, which is pretty cool. Hopefully we'll be continuing our Banded Adventures tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern, right here. Also, Tuesday is Pokemon Day. As players and lovers of Pokemon, we'll be hosting a special stream playing through one of the Pokemon games for a few hours with challenges and chat redeems. So tune in. I believe it's the same Poke time, same Poke channel.
Yes.
Yes.
I think it's the same time that it usually is.
Okay.
Also, I know I'm playing Shining Pearls, so I hope that's the right game.
It is now.
Watch me and Blake are playing entirely different games. Like, he's got Black and White, and I've got Pearl and Diamond. I'm like, all right, whatever.
Well, I'm not sure how sick he's going to be, so I didn't want to say Pearl and Diamond. And I was like, maybe Games will want to play something else. I don't know. I'm not going to force him to play Pearl.
Oh, fair enough. I will probably end up playing Pearl.
We will at the very least be playing Pokemon Pearl, so there you go.
Yep.
But
it'll probably be a Solok between me and Blank, assuming he is not still on death's doorstep, so.
Yeah. Depending on whether he saves versus death in real life. We'll see how it goes. Also, Blank, please feel better.
Yeah, for sure.
Thursday is a Leap Day one-shot, GM'd by our very own games, using Mage the Ascension. Keep an eye on our Discord socials for more information about that, unless there's something you want to tease now.
No. I am super excited. It's a great cast of players, and we pretty much have all our ducks in a row. I'm going to start advertising it big starting Monday. So, yeah. Be sure to join us for that, because it'll be a lot of fun.
I'm sorry, just saw Undead's. By the way, Blue Sky of the White Cast, heroic antagonist, and Undead Cadaver. I will put Sing the Poker Rap as a redeem, just for you.
I will warn you, I'm terrible at it, but I will keep the lyrics on screen just in case.
Or at least sing 10 seconds, 5 seconds. What can we get away with? Sing 5 seconds of the Poker Rap. Remember where you left off.
So we were testing out a text-to-speech to be able to do closed captioning for our streams. And I remember we started doing the Poker Rap, but most of us forgot the words. So we kept going like, Pidgey, Pikachu. Like, every third Pokemon was Pidgey.
Yep.
Yep. Diglett Pidgey.
Yeah, it was great. And it still couldn't figure it out, which was the best part.
We didn't end up using that software, if you couldn't tell.
Finally, the last item we're going to talk about is the Cyberpunk Red DLC for February has recently been released. Written by Linda Evans, it's called Chasing the Rabbit, Roller Derby in the Time of the Red. It's a great DLC. If you haven't looked at it, do so.
It's free. Go to their website.
Or telsorangames.com/downloadable-content.
And hashtag not sponsored, but I will mention that Interface 3 just came out, which has some full Borg conversion stuff for you folks that are into the full Borg thing.
Yeah.
So.
Check that out. We will be going over the DLC on March 7th on Night City Sofa, per usual. And then we will be having, not that night, because I went through it and I started making an outline for Night City Sofa, and I was like, oh, we can't do this both in one episode. Just talking about the DLC is going to take up the time. So we will be doing a special roller derby jam sometime next month. Details are being worked on.
Yeah, did you reach out to the other folks?
I did.
Okay.
And I got
no spoilers back. But
yeah, love this, let's talk. I was like, yes.
If you're in the Discord, you know what we're talking about.
Maybe
we did it in voice channel.
Oh, I suppose so. That's true.
Yeah, for the people that were hanging out in voice chat last night,
join our Discord. Was that before. Last night? Was it the night? I honestly could not remember when that was.
It was Thursday night. Because I was trying to get the YouTube episode uploaded in time.
That is right. Okay. That's all my notes. Unless I miss something. Unless there's something else you can think of that I haven't.
And we'll probably be back next week with Shades of Scarlet and Indie Bandits, not only tomorrow, but also next week, in which our heroes will finally make good. I don't know what's going to happen in that episode. That's two episodes from now, Jess.
I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, to be honest. So I'm just like, sure. My life is Andy Bance GM. What are we doing? I don't know. Okay.
I don't know. I like the blood ball being dodgeball, but with spiked.
Yeah.
Like cannonballs.
Spiked balls. Yeah.
Thank you for the redeem. Appreciate it. Val, I'm glad you know what's going to happen tomorrow. That makes one of us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I will do something that will make Jess go.
I try not to look frustrated on stream, so it'd be like, oh, I didn't have that planned. Cool, I'll just throw that together in 5 minutes. Sure, let's go.
I'm sure that'll work out.
Indie bands are going to cause chaos. You're not wrong. That is. What's going to happen tomorrow night, Jess? Same thing that happens every week, games. You cause chaos. The bandits cause chaos.
Yeah.
Oh. That should be a doodle. You guys is like Pinky and the Brain Mice. Okay. I don't know how long we've been on. We're going to try to get through this or to the actual...
15 minutes on stream, which means that we're 10 minutes into the stream and we just got through the announcements.
Yes. All right. Well, and some riffing. I feel like that doesn't count. It's fine.
Right.
So, okay. As someone who's new to Cyberpunk, not relatively new, I am new to Cyberpunk Red. I started with Shades of Scarlet, so I've got like 2 whole years under my belt, guys. in a weekly game.
Mostly. Right.
But I was watching, so there was a video that John did about, if you guys don't know John the Wise, go check him out. He's a fountain of knowledge.
Hashtag not sponsored, but
for
yeah.
Information. And he was talking, he did a video about like what he liked, what he didn't like, and one of the things he didn't like was the lawman's rollability.
Sure.
And then I was watching Emeron's video, who's also another great GM for Cyberpunk Red. He's got content all over the place. You should check him out as well. A lot of helpful videos too about GMing and playing the game. But he did one about roles, and it was... He broke them down into 2 different types. One was like how much prep time the GM needs for the role.
Okay, yeah.
And Lawman had its own category.
Right, obviously.
And then he kind of broke the roles down into like combat roles, faces, and specialists.
Okay.
And I was watching it, and I was like, you know what? And maybe it's because I'm a media that solos, or has been dubbed a media who should be a solo.
Right.
But I find that your roles are not your character. At least you...
No.
They are not lead. You can be completely separate from that, which is not how I have ever envisioned that in TTRPGs. They're always kind of been linked. Your class is linked to your stats, or your attributes, what you can do. And in Cyberpunk Red, that is not the case.
Well, you come largely from a D&D history, right?
Mm-hmm.
I prefer the games where your role and who you are completely separate. It's like, if you look at the World of Darkness games, like, you can be a Tremere and be completely different than the average Tremere, or Malkov. And if you look at that's vampire specifically, but you can be fairly outside the box with your character based on your role. And Cyberpunk, it's honestly just like the thing you're good at is your role. It doesn't define who your character has to be.
I would argue that, because even in World of Darkness, you're going to pick attributes based on...
Maybe. I've seen a lot of people that didn't... I've seen people play like Meathead Malkavians that like seemed completely normal. They were cannibals, but they seemed completely normal outside of that.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. But I don't like that being trapped within like, oh, I'm a paladin, so I need to, you know, fight for the virtue and all that kind of stuff. And I like systems that don't make you do that.
Yeah, I always feel like you should be able to, like, your personality of your character is your own.
Like, right.
The whole alignment chart is bullshit. My opinion. Jess's opinion, that's not the opinion of Sage or Staff as a whole. But I still find, like, certain things are tied to certain things, except for what I really like in Cyberpunk Red is you can make an entire character and then choose your role last, which is what I did in my How to Make a Character video series, which I swear to God one day I will record. Because if I want to be a face, I can be the most persuasive solo I could ever want to be.
Right.
And still have like a combat role and be
right.
The face. There is absolutely nothing stopping me from doing that.
No, nothing at all. And
you will still be good at both.
I don't want to talk bad about Artosaurian or Cyberpunk because they've been very good to us and I love the system. But there are some roles that are useless.
No, okay. So I'm so glad we're talking about this today. I want to break them down and maybe this is probably where we'll start as a jumping point off. There are roles that you will use more that you use a lot. Like, they are frequent.
Sure.
If there's a skill check, you'll use them all the time. There are roles that you might use sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? And it's kind of linked to whether they are, for me, a narrative role or a mechanical / gameplay role. And chances are, if it's a narrative role, you're not going to use it as often.
Right.
So, let's start with...
Can I ask you a question before we start, though?
Oh, sure. Hang on, let me write down what I was going to ask you before I forget.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Nope.
This is quick, though.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, can I talk about 2020 in this conversation? Because the roles have changed quite a bit between the systems.
Quite a bit. I wanted to say I want to keep it to red, but I will say you can explain, like, why you prefer them in 2020.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Okay, cool.
So who did you want to start with?
An embedded journalist than the typical reporter.
Yeah, you're like a war journalist.
Yeah, she is. But I mean, as a media, you could also just be like, what is it? What are like the trashy things?
A tabloid journalist.
Thank you. Yeah, you could be a tabloid journalist and post shit all the time.
Right. Just a content farm.
Yeah.
Make up different rumors and post them.
Yeah, see how it goes.
Paparazzi, yeah.
You could. Okay, what role, because you said there are roles that are useless. And I feel like this is going to be a heated discussion, and I love it. So which role for you, or roles, plural, are useless?
I see the usefulness in them. But... That being
don't
said,
backpedal.
I don't see a lot of use in Nomad's rollability in red.
Okay.
Is it helpful? Sure. It can be, rarely.
We'll talk about that.
But,
that's cool. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah. But like in 2020, you had family, which is effectively what Lawman has now. And you could call like a number of people to come help you out of situations, which was amazing. And now it's like, you might be able to get a moped if you really needed one.
Well, not quite, but sure.
You know what I mean, though. Like,
I'm
minimizing it for sure.
Thank you, Tim. Good to see you. Yeah, hey. Okay. I can see why they took that away from Nomad, because that's essentially what they gave to Rocker Boy.
Kind of. A little bit, yeah.
Because Rocker Boy, you can call in favors of anything.
And I didn't even realize it, because I've been reading the high levels now that Wraith is getting higher
up
level.
There? Yeah.
You have, like, an army
at,
like, 9 and 10.
Yeah.
That will, like, go, like, die for you,
uh-huh.
Which is insane. I don't have that high of stat, for anyone questioning, but... Still.
I will say, with in addition to Nomads, I mean, Nomads, you get a vehicle. And every time you level up in that role, or add a point to that role, you either get an additional vehicle, or you can upgrade your current vehicle. So rank 4, you could be sitting there with 4 cars in your garage, and just be like, what do I want to use today?
Right, and with the rarity of cars, I can see how that's useful-ish.
It's very useful, because cars are expensive and rare. But in addition to that, you get to add your rank to any drive land vehicle, pilot air vehicle tech, land vehicle tech, sea vehicle tech.
Yeah.
So any
you're a driver,
tech
you should
that you make, you also get to add that role. So you get both.
Yeah, I just, that and tech, those are the two that I'm like, they're not
a tech.
Good. Yeah, I know they get to add their skills to a whole bunch of stuff, but it takes them so long to do their primary stuff that they would do in-game like, oh, this is a costly component. I need a month and $1,000 to fix it.
I feel like it depends on what it is, for sure.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. I mean, but if you're going to spend some time upgrading things or like fabricating new things, I think that's what takes the most time. I'd have to go.
Yeah, I believe check. So.
But the fact that you can upgrade things, like the fact that you can make a light armor jack, not be penalized, and go up to a like, SP-12.
Right.
That's insane.
I get that. You're not wrong, that's but insane. It's the amount of time it takes in the story that bothers me about it.
And that's what tech is, one of those like in between where they're like, they're more of a mechanical or a gameplay role because they affect your gameplay. They don't affect the story in what they can do, normally speaking. Obviously, there's always going to be situations. They could add some new crazy thing that just, you know, destroys the entire world if they wanted to. But they do need that downtime. And depending on your... And it possibly depends on your party's composition. I feel like our party would have a lot more downtime if Moxie wasn't trying to do shit. Like, if I was not in the group...
If I was the driving force, we'd so never do shit. Anything.
You'd have They'd so have much all more the downtime. Time. Yeah. And Mox is like, I've got this backlog of shit I need to get done, guys. Plus make rent.
Right. Well, and, like, each of them have their own thing that helps them, like, in the moment... I guess.
No.
For the most part, they do.
What does media have that can be used in a moment?
Well, you have contacts, which is your one big thing. But you don't get any bonuses like most of the other classes do. I'll give you that. Because I was going to say, like, I think from playing a med tech, that med techs aren't great. Like, they can make drugs if, like, a tech, they have a billion years and money to do it. But they have, like, surgery, I guess, is their nice thing that they have in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, you have, like, surgery first aid so you can help critical injuries during a combat. Otherwise, again, it's gameplay mechanic, right? A med tech role is based on gameplay because you have to craft things.
Yeah. I completely agree, though. Solo is, like, the most useful at all times.
I don't think so. Solo is the one I feel you'll get to use a lot of your... Like, you'll use something a lot of the time. Because you can always have perception going. Like, you can always put those points in.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's all that you've, like, focused on... Like, if you've just focused on combat, any investigation, you're going to be bored as shit.
Right, because like you're not doing the one thing you're built to do.
Yeah. But it is the role, I will say it is probably the role, if I'm looking at all of them, it is the role that is the most, that you will get the most frequent use of your role ability from any of them.
Right, yeah, that's true. You will
always be using it.
Yeah, no, the giving therapy is super useful, but it's once again something that takes a lot of time to do. Do you want to go through the list? We'll start at the top and work our way down.
First,
so it's less chaotic.
The chaos. I mean. Oh, wait, it's in our rules. We're not allowed to be chaotic.
Yeah.
Guess what? Just found out the other day. Let's actually. I want to read through chat really quickly. I will say Mono makes gnomes almost unbeatable in any situation involving vehicles. That is not true because you can always roll a one, as I am notorious for doing in any drive vehicle test. Said it wouldn't matter if I had motor or not. Yes, tech needs a lot of downtime to do their thing for sure. Heroic antagonist said some of the rules definitely benefit downtime a lot. Yeah, tech, downtimey, med tech does kind of both. Yep. Solo, when fighting. But not necessarily because when you're scouting, perception is a huge one. And awareness is a huge one. Like, always being alert of your surroundings is kind of ongoing, so it gets a lot of both.
Amedia, the D10 can screw all that up.
Media can massively, they are hugely narrative role. because they can affect things across the world. But the problem is, because it's all based on a die roll. That was one of the things that Emeron said with Lawman that he didn't like, was if you roll, there's a chance they don't come. But you can just roll next turn. As a media, I don't get to just, if I fail, I fail. It is down to a dice roll. It doesn't matter how much time and energy I've put into that. It is down to a singular dice roll. And at low levels, if I don't have evidence, I'm at best, I have to roll under a four.
Right. Like
my chance
of
failing
rough.
Is so high. So, yes, I have this massive, or medias have this, I shouldn't say I, it's because I'm playing media. Medias have this massive power, but it is based on RNG.
Right.
And it's based on a lot of gathering of information ahead of time. Like, you have to do a lot of prep work in order to make that impact that you want to have. So you don't get frequent use, but when you do get to use it, it can have amazing narrative results. A solo is never going to be able to do that, but they'll get to do their shit all the time.
Right, every session.
Yep. Let's see. It's your stream tonight. That's right. Our rules. D10 is why I said almost. Cool. Yes. Fair point. If you want to go in order, I put our little guys there at the bottom so we could see.
Fair enough. I think I know who all of those are.
I feel like you do.
Yeah. I've seen these pictures enough times.
Enough times, yeah.
Yeah.
which, by the way, is just the order that the book has them in.
Ah, fair enough.
It's not clearly not alphabetical.
Starting with Rocker Boy, the change between 2020 and Red for what Charismatic Impact did, is big, but not in. It's big in a weird way. It used to be you could influence people that were listening to you at that time. Now it's kind of you gain a following. And I think they're super powerful at high levels. But they don't, like, it's hard to use that practically in story very often the way it is now.
I think it depends on how you want to use it and your creative use of it, because Wraith has been fairly creative in his use of Charismatic Impact.
Well, and that's just kind of who I am as a person.
But I mean, you could also just Charismatic Impact to get free stuff, to, you know, get invited into places. That's how we got into spoilers, the estates.
Right.
Sort of, kind of. I mean, you could have used Charismatic without even, like, prearranging that party.
Yeah.
You could have used Charismatic Impact to smooth talk your way through those gates.
Right. And I feel like, largely, Blank doesn't let me use fast talk, because he doesn't believe what I'm doing is fast talking. And I've specced so high into fast talk. So
fast
I do my best to
skill. What
not...
are you talking, like, persuasion?
Persuasion. It used to be called fast talk in 2020. My persuasion is super high.
Your persuasion is very high.
But I don't get to use it very often, so now I'm trying to find other ways around not getting to roll it.
I don't feel like that's a black thing. I think it's part of it is him trying to use other skills.
Right.
Part of it's definitely what's situational.
I'm not blaming it by any means.
I feel like now that Wraith's kind of back in the limelight, though, Charismatic Impact is probably the better way to go.
Right.
You know, it used to be a lot of, hey, I'm Wraith, I've got an album coming out, and has been saying this for the past 4 months. but where he is now, it could very easily be, hey, I'm Wraith, I just did this show here, like, 2 weeks ago.
Right.
You've probably heard of me.
I have a lot of contacts I have to keep track of, by the way, because of the fans, like the diehard fans that you have. I've got a list of like 15 that me and Blank came up with. So I never keep track of anybody. You know that about me. So that's why I'm always like, hold on. Desiree Black, my manager?
Yeah. I have my media contacts, and then I have, like, in the world contacts, which is
right.
I don't think I would say that media is, for me, their role ability is narrative over gameplay. It doesn't affect mechanics, it doesn't affect stats, but you can influence the story. Like, that's right. where Rocker Boys, I think, for me, shine. On the frequent or never scale, I would say it's probably in the middle, and it really depends on your player.
Oh, for sure.
It's either going to be a lot, or it could be super rare. But chances are it's more situational, so it's going to fall like in that middle category.
Right. Discussing building them outside of their expected role, because that's kind of where we started this. You can make like a skateboarder who is a rocker boy and like that's their thing, or a painter, or, you know, even a serial killer, and their art is their murder. Like, you have a lot of options of how you interpret that whole thing, which I think is really interesting and can lead you to a lot of different places.
And not just that, but your rocker boy doesn't have to be cool. You can have
very
low cool stats, and does not affect your charismatic impact. So if you want to be a skateboarder and you want to bump up your dex for that athletic, or you're a painter and you want to put all those points into tech and kind of like dump your cool where you're like kind of a socially awkward person at a party, or you're very aloof, absolutely do that. There's nothing. So that's why I didn't like Emron's like Venn diagram of like your rocker boy is your face. And I'm like, but it depends on if
you've
built
be.
Them, because your right. role is not debate, like is not dependent on cool stat whatsoever.
Right. Well, and I've played games where the med tech, the doctor, was our face. And he was very down to earth and like. But yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. What is that? Solo next?
Solo is next.
And by the way, yeah, Tony Hawk is 100% a rocker boy. The problem is that now, whenever people see him, they don't recognize him.
That's fine.
Tony Hawk, like the pro skater, have you ever met that guy? Like, yeah, I am him. we've talked Solo to death, but Solo. Yeah, between damage reduction, perception, like, all the things that they can do with their solo points are awesome and affect everything they do, but they don't have a lasting impact.
Yeah, they are, you will use them, you will use those points all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Whether you're walking down the street, like, with points in awareness and then swap it when you get to combat, but it's purely game mechanics. Their roll ability is not going to help with the story. Like, it's not going to change the world.
They're great tanks, and that kind of makes sense with the... And I love solos, too. Don't solos get me wrong.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like,
we lament the fact that we don't have a dedicated solo constantly.
it depends on what you want to play, and when you pick a role, I think it's important to know these things going into it. It's like as a media... Compared to like the other roles, especially when we had a solo and now we have a tech that constantly get to use like field expertise and, you know, roll this with this bonus, roll this with this bonus. Now you get to sit there and go, I've used my thing like 3 times in 2 years. I think it's just important to like kind of take that sense of like, you will use your things, your role ability as a solo all the time.
Right.
But it's not going to have a story impact.
Yeah. I don't want to get too dark, but it's fairly realistic. I just realized that, like, a soldier is built as a utility thing in real life. They're trained and used as, you know, the can opener. They are their job. Whereas, like, a real media person, like, on a day-to-day, they don't affect much, but occasionally they have a huge effect.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a lot of
unless you want to be a tabloid journalist, in which case most people probably aren't going to believe you, but you can publish things constantly.
Daily.
Like, yeah, that's up to you. Go for it. If you want to play me and use that role all the time, sure. You probably won't have as big an impact as you think you would.
Right. Well, and in the, you know, dark future with cybertech and all that kind of stuff, solos can be giant badasses, which is awesome. They're a great player class to play, especially if what you want to do is beat stuff up. I can't, for the life of me, injure another person with Wraith because he is incompetent at every... There's a reason I use shotguns. He is not good at combat.
Shall I remind you how you started the fight at the gas station?
Right, yeah, no, that was getting real lucky and spending a lot of luck, but yes.
I'm just saying.
If, had it been a solo, that would have been a much easier role for them to do.
I don't know, man. I don't know. But yeah, I feel like solo, again, your chances are, and it depends too, like more often than not, this isn't like, I think when we talk about it, it's in your average game, right?
Right.
I know people who played World of Darkness and it was very combat focused. I know people who played World of Darkness that is very political and social. So
yeah.
If you're going to go into a game and you're generally like, if your cyberpunk game is about executives trying to play this manipulative social thing, your solo is probably going to be very bored.
Yeah, occasionally they're going to get like, hey, I need you to go kidnap this employee. But other than that, it's going to be like sitting around a boardroom.
Yep.
So yeah, I think that comes down to play on that.
Definitely the one. But so an average, I think, yeah.
Who's next? Is that Netrunner. The Netrunner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Netrunners, I find situational. Your role ability is very situational.
So, Netrunners are super utility. You need them. When you need a Netrunner, they're absolutely necessary. Well, that has to do with the story being told. If you don't have one, your GM's just not going to put it in there. But
well, the architecture will be there, but your tech could hack it, or someone with a high enough crypto. I mean, there's other ways to get through places with a net architecture without a Netrunner.
Right.
Is it easier with a Netrunner and faster? Yes.
Yeah.
Can you do it without one? Yes.
I feel like in the dark future, it's very beneficial to have them. And
100%.
They've made them very competent to be part of a bigger team now. It used to be, if you're running a Netrunner, you might as well be running just a group of Netrunners because that's all they did. Like, it was its own mini game that didn't involve anybody else. And you used to be able to code programs to do whatever you wanted. It was the Wild West back then, as far as like what you were capable of. I remember Ada played a Netrunner a long time ago, and she had a program called Kick the Pigeon that would randomly kick people off the network. And then she had a demon that would run around and just flip switches. So turn cameras off and on, open doors, and stuff like that. Like, the things you could do were so much more outlandish in 2020. But you were so much more restricted in, like, being able to play as part of a bigger team. And I think Blank does a really good job of integrating them in our team.
Yeah. But, like, if you look at the last Indie Bandits heist, you guys could have used a Netrunner.
Oh, God, that would have been helpful.
But you didn't need a Netrunner to complete what it is. You just had to think of it a different way. You had just had to think,
right,
like, how are we going to go about this without a runner?
Right. I think there's been a few times, though, in Shades that we've been in situations where we had to have a Netrunner. It wasn't really optional. But that's, I think, because
maybe
we have a Netrunner on the
two
team. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, like, as I think the Blake does a great job as a GM, but If you're a GM and you have a Netrunner, obviously you're going to want to put Netrunning stuff in there for them to do.
Right.
And again, they're another one whose role is not determined by any stat or anything else. It's purely their role ability.
Right.
So you don't have to be tech-based, which it's hilarious that both our Netrunners are tech-based. You don't have to be. You can just be really great in VR and hacking, but like, your technical ability otherwise, and it's not technical, it's technique. So it's like doing, like, putting an instrument in your hands, like scalpels or, like, a paintbrush, stuff right. like that, which is why I will continue yeah. to argue that origami should have been contortionist and not... I mean, I guess paper's technically the technical element. It's fine. Right. It's a big grudge, like, forever. yeah, you can have a low tech score and still be a badass Netrunner.
For sure. But I think that their ability is very useful for the one thing it is capable of doing. Outside of that, it is really not helpful.
Yeah, yeah. You don't unless you need it. You won't use it.
Well, I'm talking to Hades. He's like, I could spend the like 600 IP to raise my thing by 1 point, and that would give me another net action. But that's all it gives me. Or instead, I could raise a whole bunch of skills for that same amount of points.
My issue with Moxie right now is I'd have to raise her roll from a 5 to a 7 to do
before it does anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just one, two levels, which is close to, I think, total of 700 points. And I'm like, fuck, you know what I could do with 700 points? Pretty sure my handgun can go up to, like, 10 with 700 points.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you.
What's next?
So yeah, so tech? I feel like for me, I would put Netrunner in that situational, that middle. Like, they're situational. It's not going to be frequent or rare. It's going to be up to your GM. It's purely situational role.
It's just like somebody said in chat. Let me look back.
And for me, it's mechanical.
Oh, Hero Antagonist said in chat, like, if you don't have a Netrunner on the team, your GM's just not going to include that stuff.
Exactly.
100%. If they're there, they're helpful, but in their role. And that is about it.
Yeah. And I feel like that, and that's one of the ones that it affects mechanics. Like, it affects combat. It affects what you can see, but it's not really going to affect your story, probably.
Right. Tech. We talked about this already a little bit. It's 100% a downtime ability is the problem with it, is that it's not helpful. It is helpful using field expertise and all that, but the real stuff that they are very useful for is going to take them a month to do.
Which I feel you can do, and it maybe, and that's, it's possible that it's just not the way our game is run, because I know Blink likes to play it very gritty, very street, and constantly fighting. We don't get a lot of downtime.
Right.
There might be games where you do get a lot of downtime.
Right.
And I mean, and Techers has, because like she doesn't normally get hit. Normally.
So while we're all in the hospital, she gets to do stuff.
In the hospital or healing, that's the time where she should do her tech things. I think, you know, honestly, if you made, and she's got an assault rifle, I think it's generally spoken, you know, there it's the default and not the complete package is it shoulder arms?
I think so.
Tech.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but if you get assault rifle or a sniper rifle and you stay back, yeah, let everybody else soak the damage, and while they're healing, you build shit. Like, that makes the most sense to me. Yes, I'm a sniper, but I stay a sniper, so when you heal, I can fix your shit.
Right.
And make it better.
Right. Yeah, just become a really good Overwatch.
Yeah, exactly. I think, and it was one of those things where, you know, if you do have a tech that's really into, I want to build things and I want to have the time to do this, then your GM is probably going to, like, I would time skip for Indie Bandits. I would be like, okay, we're going to, like, jump a week unless anybody has anything major to do so you can do this.
Well, and that's kind of like what we were thinking originally with Indie Bandits, was that it was going to be a lot of like, oh, you guys go to your day job during the week, and then on the weekend you play ELO, and we'll focus on that, the weekends. That is not how it worked. I'm sorry, Jeff.
At this point, ELO isn't even the draw anymore. Like, Indie Bandits is now a street-level cyberpunk campaign. Like, it's...
No, we're still about the
no,
ELO.
No, you are not about ELO. You're building a skate shop, and you're buying new plates, and you're making connections. It is no longer an ELO game. I've accepted
this. I'm sorry, we'll get back to E11.
No, it's fine, I've accepted it. I'm just like, well, that was the plan. The plan went right out the window.
Right.
So it's wonderful. It, you know what? It was the problem player, because I was like, you guys are all just going to be like NPCs with day jobs, and he's like, I want to be a fixer.
Right.
Automatically means I can't time skip.
I'm sorry.
It's been great. It's really been great. But yeah, I feel like your tech, you are going to use your skills a lot, because you can use them. Like, they affect so many different things.
Right,
field expertise, basic tech, you get to add it to everything.
Right.
But yeah, and like your gear, that's going to depend on your GM and how much downtime you have.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we were talking about how you don't have to build the standard character for each of the roles. You don't have to, but like this
tech
is one
do.
That
tech is one.
Yeah.
My I've got it, three where I'm like, nah, your stat kind of applies.
It would hurt you if you didn't.
Yeah.
Like if you made like, oh, I'm a super charismatic tech that has no points in tech, like, ooh buddy.
That has
that's,
yeah, two
that's
in
a
tech.
Problem.
That's gonna yeah, that one's gonna hurt you. No. Medtech.
So we, the first cyberpunk game I ever played, we were a trauma team. We were a trauma team. We had like one solo and the rest of us we took different roles and then second role as medtech, and we just got sent on missions, and that was so much fun. Like, I love the idea of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the field, them being able to patch people, like fix broken arms and stuff like that, super helpful.
Yeah.
But they run into a lot of the same problem as the tech, in that like making drugs and doing stuff like that takes a lot of time and money and dedication to doing that thing.
Yeah. And again, I feel like in a different situation or a different story, we'd be able to do that.
Right. Well, and we're coming back to that. Like Hero brought up again, like if we were doing that corporate espionage game, like if somebody made a solo, a good GM would be like, all right, well, now there's going to be combat more yeah, often. And that's the same with the medtech thing. Like a good GM is going to be like, all right, you have enough downtime to make your drugs. We had it. And so in 2020, you can make drugs that did crazy shit. So we had somebody who made, it was a high level, it took him a lot of effort to make it, and it was expensive to make, but it was basically speed heal and antibodies and something else all rolled into one pill, and it was amazing. You can't do that now.
No, thank goodness.
He eventually... That player decided that his character, he's like, I wouldn't go on missions anymore. I'm just going to stay at home and make medicine and work as a doctor. And we're like, well, then you don't really get to be part of the story. Like, okay, it's your turn. What do you do? I see the next patient. Like, but yeah. I think they run into a lot of the same problem as the tech.
And again, I feel like you're going to use those roles maybe less frequently than the tech, because your main one is this tied to your roll ability, is in the combat. Like, is either in combat, because you can add your bonus to first aid or surgery.
Right.
Or it's during a downtime activity.
Yeah.
So it affects mechanics, but it's on, like, the rarer side of how often you're going to use it for me.
Right. Well, and to keep the game gritty... Like, it doesn't have a D&D level healing mechanic, so being the team healer is like, yeah, I patched you up, you probably won't die yet.
But you'd be the only one that could give speed heal every day.
Right, yeah.
And therapy.
Yeah.
Therapy would be really cool, to see a medtech actually sit down with a player character and be like, tell me about your trauma. Like, those, I feel like those would be really good RP scenes if that's where it went. I get more narrative like implications than gameplay, but that depends on your medtech and
right, and what you're focusing in and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. And the money.
Yeah, quick fix.
Yeah, quick fix is super helpful.
Yeah, we've done that a few times.
Yeah.
And by we, I mean Gaines. Not Moxie.
Well, and like
Moxie is not first aid.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think they fall into a lot of the same category, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Media's next.
Media's next.
You have some opinions on media.
You know my feelings on media. I think they're amazing. I think they can impact the world in great ways. I think they are a very heavily narrative role. Every two levels, I gain contacts that are in the world. I still have two contacts that I haven't either met or fleshed out enough for Blake to be like, here you go. I'm also one of those players that, like, if I'm going to gain new contacts, I feel like I should meet them in world. Or they should approach me, as opposed to just I suddenly magically have two new friends.
Oh, I happen to know somebody. Yeah.
So I've two that are kind of sitting on the back burner, but they're very narrative, and they're, for me, media is very situational.
That's funny to me.
Massive changes, but it's going to take me a lot of time to do it, and then
and
I get to hope I roll low.
Yeah.
And I hate that my roll ability, and I think it's the only roll with this problem that is fully dependent on RNG.
Techs kind of have the same problem.
No,
because
you can boost your basic tech skill. Like, you can boost your skills to bump that up.
Oh, that's true. But, I mean, they could still work on something for the entire time and then roll a one and have wasted all that time and money and effort.
Half the time, half money.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like,
well, no, because media, it's full. Like, if I fail, it's all out the fucking window. And if I want to try again, I'm at a penalty.
Well, yeah, you could lose credibility, not numbers-wise, but, like, with the community, if you released articles that didn't have proof, you know?
Which happened. And then, when I went after them, then I also got penalized on my roll. It's like, oh, and it's gonna be harder for you.
It's like, yeah. Do you regret playing a media in hindsight?
Do I regret playing? No.
Do you wish you would have stayed with Nomad?
I may multi-class into Nomad.
Yeah.
Because I cannot justify increasing Moxie's role. Because I looked at it, and the higher her role, the more she can affect changes, like, in the city or in the world. I'm like, she doesn't care about the city or the world. Shocking, I'm sure.
Just her neighborhood.
Yeah, she cares about her neighborhood, and I'm at a good credibility level where I can affect changes in my neighborhood. Or the city at large. So I'm like, she's solid where she is. But, like, Nomads as, like, a family, like, the neighborhood has become her family, so that makes sense of a, transition for me to put her into.
I might have
wanted to keep Nomad originally and then slowly built her up as a media. Like,
yeah,
Shady Acres
sense.
Being that catalyst of, oh, no, I'm going to start telling the truth because fuck you, Newsat.
Right.
That would have been cool, but
that's true.
Here's hoping.
What I was saying was funny earlier is because you were like, I don't like to just like go, oh, I know two more people. My characters constantly are like, oh, I know a guy when I don't. So it like I don't have to establish where I met people. It just.
Yeah, but half the time, do you really know a guy? Like, that's the question. I think Blake has made you roll. I mean, like, let's see if this is actually legit.
Right, yeah, no.
I
have a tendency to the way that I play as characters, which I try not to be a giant pain in the ass to my GMs, but I play characters that are like, oh, well, I'm sure I will just say something and the GM will let me know if that's true or not.
That's fair. I will, and we'll see. And the big thing too is with like my media sources, I'm trying to find them. It doesn't really make sense. I know a city, Politico, and my other one is where is she? where are they? A local celebrity.
Well, you know me.
That's true, but you're also part of my group. And I really like the name Luna Moon, and I am not giving that up. So.
Oh, you mean Cybertron?
No, Luna Moon. So for me, like, this massive, like, city person, like, how would I know them, and why have I not used them? Like, why wouldn't I have used them for Jack's Lantern? To just be like, oh, I suddenly know this person. Because, like, the context, like, the higher you rank, the higher the people you know are.
Yeah.
So.
No, I get that. And, yeah. Yeah, thank you very much. I think it will help me with the mage game. Okay.
So yeah, I don't regret it, but I would say that, you know, you're not going to use your roll ability if you want to make a big impact. Probably not going to use your roll ability a lot as a media.
Right.
Because you could really hurt your credibility for failing. But you're going to have massive impact on the narrative when you do.
Right. So. It's few and far between, but major when you do,
it can really hit hard.
Right. Like, you destroyed an entire gang.
I did.
Yeah.
I like that I destroyed them not just in combat, but outside of combat as well. I got to do both, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Exec is next.
So, corpse.
Uh-huh.
They're so rough.
Yeah.
Corp and cop have both always had this problem that, like, they fit really well where they fit really well as far as in stories go. But you can't just, like, plug one into any story and it makes sense, you know? Like, if we started hanging out with, like, oh, I'm a middle manager for Biotechnia, that would not make any sense whatsoever.
Biotechnica might have been the wrong company to use, but yes, I understand what you mean. It depends on the exec that you make. And I think a big part as, like, being a player is finding an executive type role that will fit and mesh with the party.
Well, and what exactly is the role ability for the corp in this? Read it, but I don't remember.
Teamwork. So you get extra people to do things for you. So if your party is missing an edge runner, one of your people could be a net runner, not an edge runner, a net runner. One of your people could be a net runner. If you're going into combat, your team doesn't have a solo, one of your people could be a solo.
Yeah. Well, and in 2020, basically they had money.
Well, like, they don't have to pay for housing. Housing's free.
Yeah.
So you,
is awesome.
You get a lot of money because you don't have to pay for rent.
Right.
You know how much money we spend on rent?
In 2020, depending on your level, was like how much disposable income you had to throw at things. And that was like their big ability, was they could finance things.
Yeah.
Which is super helpful, but as a support role?
I don't know. I feel like if I was going to play an exec, I would use my team members not with the group, but to go find, like, the extra information. Like, the shit that Moxie doesn't have time to do, she would send her team to go and get that information.
Right.
Like, Moxie wouldn't have spent all night surveillancing. She'd be like, you two, survey.
Right. Go survey things.
Sleep. go find this person for me. So I think you can use your teammates in a more productive way, where if, like, the team needs something, you don't have time. Like, you could have a tech who's a teammate. So all that downtime that we were bitching about, my teammate can do it.
Right, if you had a med tech and a tech that were on your team.
Yeah.
That's the best way to use the downtime roles.
Because, like, you don't get to use them for anything as you play. They're just always in the background, like, doing stuff.
Yeah.
Right? They may still fail, but hey, you're not actually hurting things.
Just that makes me worry.
But also, I mean, at higher levels you get, like, a Beaverville house, so, like, everybody, your entire crew could stay in that house, and then nobody has to worry about rent anymore.
Right.
Thank you, patient.
Yeah.
Yeah, simple.
And that is it's helpful, but that role beyond that, like in combat, won't really help you out so much.
But again, that's what I love about the Cyberpunk system is that your skills are not dependent on your role.
Right.
You could still be a badass in combat.
Yeah.
They're not linked. You're right. You're like, as for the role ability, how often you use it, I feel like it's media. It's very rare. It's very situational. You're not going to use it. Apart from like the fact that you get housing all the time, like free housing and clothing, you're not going to use it very often.
Well, and see, that's super nice that your GM ignores, like, travel because of them having a driver. Because, like, apparently neither of my characters can competently operate moving vehicles. So...
you can operate one so long as you spend your action each turn doing it. I didn't even make you roll for it. I was just like, this is going to take your action too. So you are focused, right. Very, very, very focused on driving and nothing else.
Right.
Yeah.
But I would say they're not as dependent on downtime as some of the other roles are.
No. But they're
more actionable.
Yeah. I feel they're a mix. I think Vel said that they're a mix of narrative and mechanics. I would agree with that.
Yeah. I've always wanted to play a corp, but that is just not in my wheelhouse as a human being.
We'll play a corp to play. Game.
Yeah.
I find it depends on the corp. I actually like Desiree Black. She's clearly an exec.
Right.
But she seems to be like a down-to-earth exec.
Can I?
Yang from Yang's Wheels. I mean, he's an exec.
Yeah, for sure.
Provides a service. So I mean, like you can. You don't have to be like this evil conglomerate. So.
Yeah, the corporate V was weird for me. Like it was very cyberpunk and it was very cool. But I always played like the street level one because it seemed the most genuine to what I see as cyberpunk, you know? But yeah, no, the corpo feels very much like all of those great cyberpunk films and stories. Can Damien multiclass into corp?
Into exec?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. If you are going to actually go through with this store idea and it's not going to be this nebulous thing that happens one day, but you actually like start like investing into your store and making this a thing, yes, you 100% can multi-roll into. You just have to get to Fixer 4 first.
Yeah, that's fine.
But yes, you could. So long as you actually have a business that you are dedicating time to.
Right. And that would help you get to where you want us to be.
Maybe.
Did you know that we've talked out of game, and that is why we're doing this?
Is what?
Is so that we can focus more on ELO, so that we have a steady source of income that we can hand wave. And focus more on ELO and less on our day jobs.
You can't hand wave it because that's literally you guys have to spend the time to do it.
Well, yeah, but we can like skip the like, okay, we go do work stuff and now we're doing ELO.
It'll be like once you'll have to roll rolls. Honestly, I'm not here to tell any story other than what you guys want to tell.
I know. So. I'm just letting you know we've talked about it. This is all in service of ELO. It's fine.
Sure. Cool.
All right,
if you
cops.
Say so. See, you could be an exec for ELO. Just saying, there are cool execs you could do.
It's true, for sure.
Lawman.
Yeah.
The one that no one likes. I like that both of you said part of the bigger picture. I love you both. Thank you so much. I really need to get that onto a shirt.
Yeah, we need to. We have a lot of stuff we need to get worked out.
Anyway.
Lawman.
Go ahead.
So, okay. This is a stupid nitpick that you're going to have to forgive me about. But the concept of a punk story, whether it be steampunk, cyberpunk, whatever it is like anti-authority, is like the point of it. Like, in its heart, I think each genre is like very much about like the rebellion against the establishment in that setting. Like, that's why edgerunners are the way they are, is because they're against the authority.
You do know lawmen are considered, like, one of the biggest gangs in New City, right?
I get that, but they are the authority. Them and corps both.
I would argue private security for corporations are authority over actual, like, street-level police.
That's true, because nobody takes street-level police as seriously as...
Exactly, like, guards. They have no authority, so you can't fight them because it would do nothing.
Well, and like, even my character bought his way out of a cop car at one point.
Yep.
When he was like, how much would it cost me? Right. Yeah, no,
you
for sure.
You can skin it as a ganger.
Yeah.
Sir, go ahead.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I was going to say something.
I wasn't. You're fine.
I was looking at their role ability, and their role ability is, yes, you can call for backup, and they will be there in X turns if you fail your check, because that was the big thing Emron said. He's been like, this, like, you could fail it, it doesn't do anything. And I'm like, well, no, you fail it for that turn. You can try again next turn.
Right.
You can keep radioing until you get somebody.
That is the exact ability Nomads used to have.
See, I feel like they've split Nomad between Rocker Boy, from what you told me, between Rocker Boy and Lawman.
Right, but it was more immediate, like Lawman is now. But go ahead. You're still in the middle of talking.
It says when, and I know the rules are written, say when combat begins, you can make this roll, right?
Yeah.
As a GM, however, in a narrative setting, what would stop you from calling in backup because some fucking punk is giving you attitude?
Right. Nothing.
Exactly. Absolutely. Like, when you consider that role ability outside of combat, so many more avenues open up, and it's still the same role ability.
Yeah.
You just call in at a different time, and I think it has so much more use than people give it credit for.
Yeah, I think if you think outside the box, it can be very adaptive. Ours did not work out so well. We got our entire Nomad family killed in the 2020 game that we called them in on.
To be fair, Moxie did try, like, making a backup roll at one point. Like, in the Lantern, she did call a cop for backup, and it did not go well.
Night City Police Department did not even answer.
When she called the specific cop, they answered. When she did try to call dispatch for the one thing, though, that didn't go well.
Right.
At all. I'm trying to be not so spoiler heavy.
I will say it is 1,000 times better than it used to be. Do you know what their old ability was?
Yeah, authority, wasn't it?
Yeah, which is effectively what face down is now. But face down was also a thing. They were more effective at facing people. They could face down people that were higher level, like more powerful than them. Mm-hmm. And that was like their one ability, which was pointless. So at least this is much more helpful.
Well, see, and it's interesting because I was listening to Emron talk about it, and he was saying that he wouldn't choose Lawman. He would just play a solo as a better Lawman. But I'm sitting there going, but your lawman also works in the department, which means you have access to shit ton of resources that a solo doesn't have access to.
Yeah.
Do you know how much easier Moxie's life would be if she was, like, part lawman, where she'd be like, I need information on this dude? Hang on, let me go search the files.
Yeah. I'm going to go to SID and look up everything we have on known gang.
Yeah. Who is this person? Yeah. Where can I blackmail them? How can I twist their arm? And I think a lot of the use of lawmen just in that, in a combat sense, they're not as helpful. And I'm like, but they can be. They have so much more than that going for them.
Yeah, I think that they're being underutilized in a lot of ways. I just have a hard time putting them in a group. Because of the thing I opened up with it being anti-authority. It's hard, like, all of the cyberpunk games I've ever been in, if a lawman, a cop, was in the game with us and we knew they were a cop, that completely would have changed everything. We've played with some cops, but they were undercover and never let us know they were cops.
That's interesting. I think it depends on what type of cop you are, too. Like,
right.
And depending on, like, what the crew's aim is.
Yeah.
I can see Wraith working with McKinley.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Him and McKinley are buddies. He would use McKinley in ways that, like, would help the neighborhood and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't have gone on, like, Jackal's Lantern with McKinley. Like, he would pick and choose the jobs he invited him on.
I feel like, yeah, if McKinley was part of our crew, though, I feel like McKinley would have gone to the Jackal's Lantern undercover. Like,
yeah,
people can't know I'm McKinley, like NCPD Officer McKinley.
Right. Well, yeah, and there's always dirty cops, and which you could do some interesting things with.
Mm-hmm.
I could see if you worked it into the story, it could be very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, then Patient Zero says, I can see playing a lawman and exec very similar, since they're both kind of represent the status quo that the characters are supposed to be against. And that's what I was saying about, like, the punk genre of things. Like, because you've got, like, Psychotronic, which is a very different genre. It's cyberpunk without the punk part of it. But we have the punk part. We're supposed to fight against the system. And some days we don't.
Some days it's difficult. But yeah, so for a lawman, I mean, in my scale, chances are how much you use that rule is really up to you, but probably on the rarer side than anything. But it has major narrative effect, I feel like. People will say mechanical. It was probably both. Mechanical for actual combat, calling in backup. But I feel like narrative, right, just given, like, the nature of who you are and what you have access to. And how you potentially change things.
If you were thinking outside the box, you could make really interesting stuff with the lava. In hindsight. Yeah, you're not wrong. Who do we have next?
Fixer.
I always end up multi-classing into Fixer every time I've played Cyberpunk. Almost without exception. There might have been once or twice I didn't, but...
You started.
They are so...
As a Fixer, my game.
Yeah. They are so incredibly helpful as a support role. Yeah. In combat... Being a Fixer is not going to help you.
Again, it depends.
Yeah.
Your roll ability is not helpful in combat.
Right.
But that doesn't stop you from being helpful in combat.
Yeah, you can make it
Rex saved a my combat ass.
Monster. Yeah, I guess.
I'm pretty sure you saved your ass at 1.2.
Oh, I know.
Damien!
But, like...
TBD.
Socially and in combat, they don't have anything in their role that's going to be helpful innately.
In combat?
But support-wise, they are very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And they require a little bit of downtime, but not nearly as bad of downtime as medtech and tech.
Yeah. I will say they are one of my three roles, where your stat does matter. Because your haggling ability is linked to trading. And you're going to want to have your trading skill high.
Yeah. you can't make somebody who's bad at trading and a competent fixer. Yeah, no, and you need, like I said, you need fixers. They get you the tech and gear that you need. They get you the jobs that you need.
Invites to exclusive markets.
Yeah. They have their finger on the pulse of society, but... but at the end of the day, support role at best.
Competent fixer. Say it. Just say it. Just say it.
Say what?
You know
what. I'm not saying nothing.
You know what.
I feel like Rex already cornered that market.
There you go. There it is. Thank you. Thank you. You know what? You're going to put Mox in a very like complicated place of like choosing between you two, and I don't think it's going to weigh the way you hope.
Rex and Wraith like each other, I'm pretty sure.
No, Wraith does not like Rex, and Rex has no idea what to do about Wraith, and eventually Wraith is going to cross a line, and shit's going to go, like, sideways.
Wraith likes Rex.
No, he doesn't. He is constantly trying to start a fucking fight.
Yeah? I don't see that as him disliking him, though.
Multiclassing into Fixer Exec is going to help me get some expensive cyberware. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you could get so much as a Fixer Exec, especially if you're an exec at the right company.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you can play Exec, like, get experimental shit, too.
Yeah, like if R&D you work for, just, like, Militech.
R&D just brought like, this out. Yeah, let's try it.
We have this new grappling hook, like, yes. Need it.
We didn't even tell you where it goes in. Doesn't matter. Just install it.
Go.
Okay. I feel like your operator role, though, you'd probably use more frequently than not. You're still not going to use it, like, probably.
Yeah, you'll use it.
Probably not every session, but more than any, like, on the higher end of
frequency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cyberpunk. and I would
oh
say
my god, I would love a crossover both. Between those games.
They help both mechanically because they can get you stuff.
Yeah.
Like gear, and they help the story narratively because you have to make contacts. By the way, right. I will tell you right now, as a fixer, when you go up level and you get those new contacts, I will either be contacting you with those new contacts or you will run into them. You don't get to just.
Yeah.
Oh, I know this person, though.
I mean, I do, but... Remember how I've told everybody that I know people?
Yeah, it doesn't mean you actually know them.
Right. It's the Bop It situation all over again.
Oh, man.
Bop It. All right.
And last but not least, Nomad.
I want to love Nomads.
I love Nomads.
I think they've been made a lot weaker when they took family away from them. And I like the Punknot's cool. Punknot is cool.
That's not a Nomad based thing. That's
no, but that's where it comes from though, is from the nomadic tribes.
No, it came from gangers. Like people like gang, just booster gangers that wanted to ram through blockades set by corporations.
I know, but I'm going like way back. but so I like Nomads. I have always liked Nomads. They're a little flighty for me.
It's in the name.
Yeah, that. Oh, I realize. And I have already said my problems with their rollability.
I think especially in the time of the Red, where vehicles blank, and it's so funny because blank has vehicles kind of like more abundant in the city than I do.
Yeah.
Like, he's had us hit rush hour traffic, and I'm like, there aren't enough cars in the city for rush hour traffic.
Right? Anytime we're like, all right, I'm going to run across the street, he's like, did you look both ways?
Cars are not, nobody has a car.
This is Frogger.
Yeah. All the cars are always in the area where we are, like, need to be, like, constantly.
Yeah. Everyone in town is driving this road.
Yeah. In this exact moment. So there are a lot, you'll see them a lot more rare in Indie Bandits, because they shouldn't be everywhere, in my opinion. So I make them a lot more rare. So.
Right.
Yeah. That's about where
and I'm for and that makes reason,
Nomad way more.
Yeah.
Beneficial.
Yeah. I will give them that. I still don't think it's that effective of a roll ability. I never give them the credit for the fact that they get bonuses to drive.
And vehicle tech.
Yeah, but that is helpful.
Yeah, it is.
They're like a better version of techs.
Yeah, they just don't require downtime. You go up a rank, you just get access. Like, there's no...
Yeah.
It's just immediate.
It's like their base, like, ability is, like, the tech thing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you know, you can improve cars and blah, 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 blah. And then they also have the, oh, yeah, and you just get shit. I feel like they should have done that for techs also. Like, hey, whenever you go up a level, you get a new piece of tech. Like, oh, my God, they'd be so much more powerful.
That would be broken. But that's the thing, though. Techs can invent shit, and they can make things better. They just need the time to do that. And that makes sense to me. Like, you need to put the time to, like, build shit. But when you can build whatever the hell you want, go for it?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Well, and Vel actually brought up a really good point. In the time of the Red, the scarcity is so high. Like, you have to have nomads to be able to supply everything.
That's not, yeah, much like Lawman, I think that's a forgotten thing about your role.
Yeah.
Where Lawman, you have access to files and resources. That's not part of your role ability, but it's part of your role. Nomads, it's not part of your role ability, but you know those lines and those roads and who to call to get shit.
Yeah. So I think that there's, like, backdoor ability stuff that makes them more useful. But I still don't see them as a good primary class unless everyone is kind of that direction anyway.
Vin Diesel disagrees with you. I would just... Dom Toretto, I guess. He disagrees with you.
I'm going to do a cyberpunk.
Actually, I feel like he's what? Like solo? Weird. Like nomad solo? Letty's probably full nomad.
No, I would say... I would say Dom, and this is a whole nother podcast, but Dom would be a nomad lawman.
No.
Yeah, in a big way. And Letty, I would say, is solo.
They all,
and if we're talking about,
they all have to have points in nomad. Like, they're all...
Oh, yeah. No, nomad. For sure they have points in nomad. Except for, what's her name? She was added in, like...
Oh,
eight.
No, because even Ramsey got level one in Nomad when What's-His-Face joined because she had to drive the truck and she never did it before.
She's like, I don't know how to drive.
She's learning level one Nomad, baby, let's go. No, I'd say solo, because those fights that he can absorb damage, like, Don's got to be solo.
That's true. I've seen him do some stuff that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Well, and Brian is clearly
Lawman. Then Nomad, yeah.
Yeah.
Tej is tech nomad.
Oh, for sure. 100.
Romeo's gotta be rocker boy nomad.
Yeah, Roman is a rocker boy. Well,
low nomad cool.
First.
Low then. Cool. Rocker boy nomad.
Yeah, uh-huh. For sure. And like I said, this is its own podcast. We apologize. We don't go further into this.
Next time Blank gets sick, we'll Fast and Furious or movie class. We'll class people based on movies.
Yeah, you guys say movies and then
we'll class characters. We'll
spec them out. But yeah, no, he has car foo for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, special skill just for him. Hit like some rank.
Like, hashtag no spoilers on this one. But in, what is it, 9, when they have to go over the bridge and the bridge is gone, and he, like, clips the side of the cabling and then uses it to launch his car across the canyon.
Yes!
Oh, my God.
Yes! Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, so now we've made it through all of the
So Nomad, I feel like, again, mechanical role. Also, Nomad's roles do depend on... Like, if you're going to get the most out of them, your reflexes should be high.
Yeah.
For driving vehicle, and probably your
for
tech.
For half of their abilities, yeah.
Yeah.
Tech would be very helpful.
Are kind of both. But,
I don't know, you could probably make a nomad that couldn't drive.
Technically, you could make a nomad that would be C-oriented.
Yeah.
Like, Deeps could have been a sea nomad and has no points in drive.
I mean, he kind of is a sea nomad, if we're being honest about it. But I'm using that more as an insult than a...
Yes, or a pilot. You could have all your points in the air vehicle.
Right. Or spacecraft.
We should get Navy.
I would love a Navy. That would be awesome.
Blank, tell me there's fucking traffic now. I'm in an Navy. Please don't.
So... In 2020, we used to, because pilot dirigible was always an option, so I would always dump at least one point into pilot dirigible. When am I going to run into it?
but the one time you do, you have a point. Right.
You guys stole a blimp? Well, it's a Zeppelin, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel Nomads, again, could be, they're more mechanical. The narrative, but you have those narrative options based on what you can do in the world at large.
With right.
A heavy mechanical class. That's my take, anyway.
You know, it's funny, if Blank wasn't sick and he were here, I'm sure he would have disagreed with everything that we've said.
Really?
Yes and no. I just think he would have had a lot of input that would have been different.
Hmm. For certain classes, 100%.
Yeah. Thank you for the hydrate. I appreciate
it. They help. I think, I don't know, that was my list of, hey, I watched this video and I disagree that, you know, these classes are based on, like, combat and your face and your specialist, because I'm like, nah, you can do cool things, but it doesn't mean that's what you have to be. So, and I really like this system for that.
Yeah. And that is something that I've always appreciated about the way that they build their world. Like, just because that's the thing you're good at, it doesn't mean that's who you are. So,
what was that?
The combat's always been so brutal.
Yeah. I was thinking of Fight Club, Tyler Durden, you are not your job.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are not your role.
For sure.
Yeah.
So join us for our who, what character is what in Fight Club.
Thanks, Val. As long as they agree.
Oh, Val, you weren't quite with us. I don't know if you've seen the episode, but we were doing a Night City sofa where we were discussing cyber sharks. And I was, because I said something about cyber tigers because they were a thing in 2020, and I was just making a joke. And James Hutt was in chat, and we didn't realize it.
Jay
Gray, yeah. It was in chat, and we didn't realize it, and was like, oh, yeah, well, cyber sharks are a thing. And like started, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, we weren't prepped for Jay Gray to be in the chat, and we freaked out.
Yeah, it was funny.
Aw, thank you so much, PowerPlay. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you for showing up. We appreciate it.
Sweet dreams.
Yeah, we can't tell you who is in Fight Club.
No.
There's rule one, but...
I'm still so sad that we didn't get to go to a Fight Club in-game.
Right.
because you didn't tell anybody it was happening.
I'm sorry.
That was also, who was I talking to? Was this in our voice chat? Man, my, like, memories are just, everything is a haze. I think it was in our voice chat. We were talking about, yeah, with Power Play and all, we're talking about achievements in loot boxes and how we can't get any of the achievements in loot boxes because Deeps is the only one in character who knows about them and hasn't told any of us.
And we want to do them so bad, but we haven't had any reason to go do it.
Yep.
Because Blank was like, yeah, you guys get to do that. That's a thing that's in the world. And we were like, oh yeah, we're so excited. And like, nope. Deeps is the only one that knows about it and hasn't told us.
You know what? I might make you guys find a random loot box. Like, is it like the bandits just in the street somewhere? Like, you come across this. What is
this? I would
appreciate it. Find it.
Right.
I was waiting because I was waiting to see what the mission was that he had, because I feel like whatever I make you do is what Gojira will have to do, or vice versa.
Yeah.
To like sign up and everything else, and I don't think he'll tell me because he doesn't want it to be a spoiler. So at this point, though, I'm like, dude, you either have to tell me or I'm going to make it up and you're going to have to follow with whatever I said because we're behind you in the timeline. So choice is yours, buddy.
Right. Right. Ooh, speaking of showing up on time for the game. So Jess was like, hey, I've got this great idea. I'm like, yeah, I'll be there. And then I was at family dinner until like 7 minutes before the stream. I'm like, Jess, I'm here.
Yeah, like 2 minutes before like the timer was supposed to go off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was good times. Good times. I wouldn't have counted that for the achievement, but yeah.
But yeah, I think that's what we had to talk about. Do you have anything else you wanted to?
I don't. Thank you guys for putting in your input. I appreciate it. I don't know if, I feel like to say that they're not, that roles are independent of the character you play is very apt in Cyberpunk Red.
Right. And I love that, like, we've had so much engagement and been able to talk. Like, chat has said some great stuff about, like, games they're playing and their feelings on it. And I think, yeah, what has been said a couple of times, Hero said it too, about how, like, your GM will tailor the game to make it fit what you decide to do. Which I think is a mark of a good GM anyway. Like, if you're running through a dungeon in D&D and you're all clerics, then making you go through, like, something that is designed for thieves was just bad taste. Like,
traps everywhere. Oh, no one has detect traps. Every door is locked with lockpicks. Oh, no one has lockpicks. No one has an urchin background. Criminal background. Man, sucks to be you. Right. At that point, I'd be like, what did the players do to piss you off?
Who hurt you? I really wanted to run this, and they all decided to be clerics. It's like the Bardageddon game that we were talking about.
Oh my god, I forgot about Bardageddon. We need to do that.
Right. I bet that was fun.
For Barbarian Baldur's Gate, yes, do it, 100%. I saw a meme, though, about an all-cleric group. They called themselves the Amen.
Nice.
And because, like, subclasses, you could always be different, right? So I was like, yes, let's do this.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Ever, yeah. As Indie Bandits is happening, though, that is... It's not a bad thing. It's absolutely not a bad thing. You guys just, you latched really hard into this concept that you decided you wanted to do, and I'm like, oh, this is the game we're playing. Okay, cool.
No, I have a lot of stuff in ELO I've been wanting to accomplish too, though. I feel bad because my co-conspirators have been missing their day jobs. For me, like, this is my day job, so.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. What is it I'm curious, what is it you'd like to do in ELO?
I need to go see the queen, and I have that necklace I was supposed to give to my girlfriend, the Minister of Agriculture.
I saw that on your character sheet, and for the life of me, I could not remember why you had this necklace.
Yeah.
That's all the way back in City of Elfhold, man. That's like through the Black Mountain Pass. And...
I can fast travel, it's fine. I have to go refight that goblin anyway on the pass.
For a chance. For a chance, yeah. For that loot to drop and then not toss him over, eat him over the ledge.
Thank you so much for the resub. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that's all I had to say about rolls. They don't have enough for a gnome, Val. No, there is no fast travel. Fast travel would be magical.
Right.
So, I will say there may be, I may tweak it so that if you get to Port Treasure and actually, like, open up Port Treasure, there would be a boat that goes from Port Treasure to Wolfpine Port.
Okay.
So you could avoid Black Mountain Pass.
I still have to go back through Black Mountain Pass anyway.
In Port Treasure to do it.
Right. Well, and I have a lot of real-world stuff that I haven't really talked to you about that I want to do that is about ELO.
Okay.
So, get more on that later.
Get the cannon from city to city. That makes me think of Overcooked. Get in the cannon! Go across the kitchen.
Right.
You know what, Heroic? I love Cyberpunk Red so much. So, I feel you.
For sure.
I'm glad you can live vicariously through us.
I try to live vicariously through us, too.
It's true. It's what, same. I live vicariously through my characters. Yeah.
All right.
I think that's all I've got for now about roles. I didn't have anything specific. Those were my talking points.
Well, we made it through an hour and 40 minutes of discussing that, so I think we did a pretty good job. Yeah.
And high five. Yeah, you're that way.
I would say blue, yellow.
There we go. I like that you can go by color. I go by
it's part of why I did it.
Yeah, thank you guys all so much for being here, for joining us.
Yep.
Tune in tomorrow, hopefully, for Indie Bandits.
We will
hack for
high water.
I know one of the players, Minkane, will be able to attend tomorrow.
What?
So,
off stream.
No, the work schedule changed. They got called in last minute. They're just, yeah. Real life interfered, unfortunately, with game time. So as long as, like, the other three are there, we should be good, but if someone else can't make it for some reason, I don't know, we'll figure something out.
Right. You and I have a tendency to do that if people are like, hey, we can't make it tonight, unless I'm, like, out of town. I'm like, alright, let's do a thing!
Yeah.
Yep, much like the ELO plot. Keys got called into work, or
yeah.
Silo got called into work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we'll see, it should be good. Tuesday, join us for Pokemon Day, where either we will completely mess up Games' game, or we will cause chaos for him and Blink.
Yeah.
Which
should be entertaining.
We had this
Blink is
earlier.
So technical and good at Pokemon, and like
you're gonna
knows
fuck up
like
all his plans, and I'm so there for it. Not even intentionally. You'll just be like, ooh, Pokemon. Okay, I would do that. That would be me. I'd be like, ooh, I like this Pokemon. I'm going to catch it. And Blake will be like, I needed that for my team. Like, cohesion. Why would you take that? Because it's pretty.
I don't know. Just really like Smeagol.
Oops.
Most days I can't remember, like, the type comparisons of, like, what's strong against what, so... I'm sure it'll end great.
It'll be great, yeah. So join us on Tuesday for that. Yeah. And then Thursday for our one shot with Mage the Ascension should be amazing. And then hopefully next week we'll be back with Shades of Scarlet. Otherwise, we'll do movies in Cyberpunk Red and figure out what characters would be in what movies. That's going to be my backup.
All right.
There we go.
We should, when we do these interrupt streams, we should start with, like, technical difficulties, like, and then, like, cut to us.
Yeah, like, your regular Shades of Scarlet thing, and then, like, technical difficulties. I like it. I love it.
All right. Love you guys.
Take care, and we'll see you hopefully tomorrow.
Yeah. Bye.